I just got the thumbs up that we are good to go. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We welcome each of you tonight. It is Tuesday, August 6th, 2024. This is the City Council meeting for the City of South Jordan. My name is Dawn Ramsey. I have the privilege of serving as mayor of the City of South Jordan with this outstanding City Council seated up here next to me and our executive staff. We appreciate our city administration and staff and all that they do to help keep our city running smoothly and taken good care of. Mr. Shelton is not here with us and will be joining us soon, so we'll look forward to having him be here. We are going to open the meeting tonight with an invocation by Councilmember Patrick Harris.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we all have the opportunity to gather together at this City Council meeting. Well, we're thankful for the city staff, our city manager, mayor, who've all worked to put this meeting together, and please bless us that we'll receive thy inspiration to make the best decisions possible. We're thankful for all those here in attendance. We're thankful for the residents of our city. Please look after them. Please bless everyone here that with all that they need of, and please also bless the United States of America. And we say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. All right, our Pledge of Allegiance tonight. The agenda says it will be offered by our Police Chief, Jeff Carr. Chief Carr is next door at the National Night Out Against Crime event. And so we are going to turn to our City Commerce Director, Mr. Brian Priest, to give us to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Will the council and audience please rise? Please salute the flag and recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America along with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Mr. Priest. Welcome. We already just barely said you'd be in here in 1 second, and there you are. So thanks for being here, Mr. Shelton. Okay. Right now, item D, we have minutes from our July 16, 2024 City Council study meeting and City Council meeting that have been sent out in draft form for review. Does anyone have any amendments or questions or concerns about the minutes? And if not, can I get a motion to approve those minutes?
Madam Mayor, I'll move that we approve the July 16th City Council study meeting and City Council meeting minutes.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mr. Harris. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mrs. Johnson. Any additional discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of approving the draft minutes from July 16th, 2024, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? These minutes are approved. All right, our next item is Mayor and Council reports. This is an opportunity we take. We like to take just a quick few minutes to report back and to let you know some of the things that we've been working on here in the city the last couple of weeks. We like to try to make sure that the people who elected us understand what it is that we're doing. And usually the list is really long and comprehensive, and we're going to kind of abbreviate it for time. But I'll turn and see. Mr. Shelton, would you like to go first?
Sure. Since our last meeting, I met with the Senior Advisory Committee, and they have Generation Day coming up on August 21st. I think it would be great if we could all participate in that in some way. Imagine we can get a schedule of events and choose what works in our lives that day, maybe. The committee ask about the possibility of a crosswalk on Redwood Road right immediately in front of the community center. And so I'll talk with the staff about that idea. Now with the Jordan River Commission, and they are going to visit Pure Sojo project September 5th, and so I think some of the staff are already working on that, getting that together, and they have the Get to the River Festival in September. And they also mentioned America the Beautiful grants and said that those have all been done and funded and so forth, but there's another round coming. And I wondered if there's any chance that we might be able to look at that for a project in the city, maybe Mystic Springs, which we've had to take off the capital improvements list because of cost. But anyway, thought we ought to check into that. And then I also, Saturday, went out to the open house for the Cove House in Daybreak, and that was great. So that's my report, Mayor.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Would you like to go?
Absolutely. I don't have a lot to report, but I also went out to, in Daybreak, the new area of Daybreak, they have the grand opening for the Model Home Village on Saturday. I was there Thursday night and met the construction manager who was out there working, and he was super appreciative and giving accolades to our city and the health department for giving him some grace and some latitude to get the Cove done before the grand opening. That was Thursday night, and the inspectors came Friday morning. And then also the latitude and the help and support we gave for them to open the SWIG. So I was there Saturday. I got to see the CFO of Homes Homes, the president of Destination Homes. I saw Mr. Harris. I miss seeing you. Ran into Amanda Covington from Larry H. Miller. It was a great turnout, great opportunity. Love that our city is so business-focused in helping businesses and people around the city grow their businesses and have that opportunity. So that's all I have to report. Mayor?
Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Mr. Harris?
I also attended the Daybreak grand opening for the new model homes. And it was nice. I think they did a really good job. They got a lot of people there. It was actually jam-packed, you know, with people there, which was really neat to see. But one thing I want to comment on is, you know, as we're talking about, you know, finding, especially for the younger generation getting into their first homes, you know, affordable housing, it was nice to see that, you know, when we looked at the model homes, it looked like there were a lot of homes that were trying to be as efficient as possible to try to make, you know, homes, you know, that are still very nice, you know, well-built homes, but also affordable. And that's something that we've been, you know, we were certainly trying to focus on as well. So it's good to see that. And then staff's just done a great job. There's a number of items I've been reaching out based on various resident needs throughout the past, you know, couple weeks, and staff's been very responsive to address those needs. So thank you for all of that. And Mayor, that's my report.
Thank you.
Yeah. I would just like to let you know that that the West Nile virus has been detected at the cemetery, and they're taking steps to mitigate and to watch out over it. They say that there's no sense in being alarmed at this time, and we'll have another meeting on Monday, so if anything changes, I'll let you know at that time.
Thank you. It was found in Riverton too, I believe, right?
Well, according to the meetings I've been to, this time of year is pretty typical for it to pop up.
Okay.
And so they told us that when it arrives in our city, they would notify us to let us know. And so I received notification Friday evening.
Thank you.
I actually took some time off and had vacation time with my family before life gets crazy with school starting back up. But in between a couple of vacation opportunities, had opportunity to meet with residents. One of them actually was tonight before this meeting to discuss some ideas on affordable housing, and kind of from a unique perspective of just the average resident and not a developer coming forward with ideas or trying to push density. So I look forward to meeting with him again to get some more detailed information. And that's my report, Mayor.
Thank you. I will make mine brief. I also got a shout out and a kudos to a member of our staff. So two of the emails that I had received were in Dustin's email that he sent out Friday to everyone. Couple of different emails that we received with people who are just so grateful for our staff, different members of our staff, and the work they had done. I got a text from a resident that's actually a chief of staff for a member of Congress. But he and his wife live here in South Jordan. And he said, my grandson, wife, and I met Officer Cuevas. Is that how you say his last name? Cuevas today while we were playing at the splash pad. They were at the new splash pad over here on Redwood Road. He let us take a picture after he gave a sticker to Wes, the little grandson. And he sent me the picture and said my grandson was mesmerized by the entire thing. Officer Cuevas was fantastic. And the little grandson is like probably two, you know, maybe just little. But he said, oh, he was so great. And he gave him a sticker and he is a big fan. And he just sent me a text to say he was awesome. And thank you. Please let him know thank you for making our little grandson's whole night. They loved that. So I just wanted to pass that along as well. Thank you. So we had the big city conference caucus, not conference, caucus, with the league, and also the Fresh Look at Transit meeting, two big meetings at the same time. And so Mr. Luce attended the big city caucus. Did anybody else go to that? Okay, Mr. Luce attended that, and Mr. Rasmussen and I attended the Fresh Look at Transit. And as you know, that's a project that WFRC is helping to convene, and we're bringing together eight communities in the southwest part of Salt Lake County and the northwest part of Utah County. In the past, models and planning and numbers have not supported additional transit in the area, and those models are outdated. And as chair of WFRC, I have been beating that drum. Those models are outdated, and we need to look at this again, and we need to study the numbers again, because things have grown faster and more intense than those old models indicate. And we have to take a fresh look at that, because I know if we do, it's going to have a different outcome. So it's been a lot of work to bring all of these eight cities and all the powers that be. UDOT was there, UTA was there, representatives from our congressional delegation, staffers were there, school district was there. We've got, you name the organization, they were there. We had the right people there and all of the cities that were there and the consultant who's working on this. So it was our second meeting, counties there, legislators there from our area doing this fresh look at transit meeting, and we're going to continue working toward that. And my number one goal, which I say at every meeting, because I get to say a few words at every meeting, is that this will be the last study that's done for transit in our area, that we will end up with an actionable plan that can be accomplished, that can happen, because we are going to have to expand the transit system to our part of the valley. So I actually said, we have maps laid out, and we got to lay out our perfect vision. There were lots of different tables. So Bluffdale had different visions, and Utah County folks had different visions. Everybody was there. Our table, our vision, I think we felt really good about, and we laid the tape where we think things should go. Then I asked the mayor of Harriman to come take a look at it. Then I asked the mayor of Riverton to come take a look at it, and they both said, yeah, we think so too. I'm like, okay, good. So let's have everybody see that we think this is probably what needs to happen. And we had professional staff and lots of people taking a look at that. This is not the same thing as the transit workshop, the WFRC workshops, the transportation workshops that'll be coming up. That's different. We still need to go to those. This is specific for bringing back to the table all parties to take a fresh look at what it will take. What will it take for us to make sure that we have the transit systems to move people around in this area? There's only so many lane miles we can build. We are going to have to expand transit in this whole region. And what's it going to take to help grow a transit-minded generation, because it's available, because right now it's not available. There's nothing for them to ride. So of course we don't have ridership, you know. Anyway, big lift on that. And we've had two meetings so far, and so we're just going to keep working on it. Had an Olene Walker Housing Loan Fund meeting, and we've had some different conversations about the drinking water and the Olene Walker funds, and how some potential uses that as a city we could look at applying for those. But we had a really good Olene Walker Housing Loan Fund meeting. Attended a scholarship presentation, met with X Factor Communications for some strategy on communication about housing. Had some meetings with The Point. You may or may not know that Alan Matheson has left his post as director of The Point and gone to work for Rio Tinto. So we'll continue to work with Alan. And we have an interim director right now at The Point, and are working on, we've had a lot of people apply to be the new executive director of that project. project. So we'll keep working on that. Had an executive committee meeting for Envision Utah and Jordan Education Foundation. Met with a developer this morning and also met with some members of the Jordan District Board of Education today. Had some questions for them. There's a lot going on in the school district as well. And so just want to make sure we're on the same page, that we understand what's going on, what are the plans and the decisions they've made and what aren't. You know, what does that look like? And just make sure we're on the same page with what's going on in the city and to be informed. So that went really well too. And so for now, that's my report.
Thank you, Mayor.
All right, item F on our agenda, we have public comment. Our public comment period is a time when we get the chance to hear from you. Members of the public that come, we appreciate you coming and being willing to take the time to come and share your thoughts. And you can share anything with us, something you like, something you hate, something, whatever. We want to hear it. The way we do this is we open up the microphone when I open the public comment period, and anyone will be invited to come up here to this mic up front. Everyone gets 3 minutes to speak, and we ask you to give us your name and address for the public record. We have to keep a public record of this. So we ask that you give us that at the start. And it's not a time where we really dialogue back and forth and come up with answers. We want to hear what you have to say, and then we'll find the right staff and the right people to work together to try to come up with what we can. I say this every meeting. We make a commitment to you of respect. We will be respectful to you, and we ask the same thing in return. We're very proud of how we do things here in South Jordan. We have a very civil dialogue here in the city. We're all here because we care about the city of South Jordan, and we may have different ideas and different solutions in mind for what that looks like, but we're all here because we care. So we commit to you that we will be respectful and work together, and we ask the same thing of everybody that speaks in this chamber, because that's how we do it here, and we're proud to do it that way here. So with that, I am now going to turn the time over to you. If there's anybody that would like to speak, you're welcome to come on up to the microphone and give us your name and address and take your 3 minutes, and we'd love to hear what you have to say.
Good evening. I'm Dr. Jay Shetland, longtime South Jordan resident, and I just want to thank all of you for your service to our beautiful community. You guys do a wonderful job. Thanks for those that have answered phones this week as I've reached out. I put together a community wellness day back in 2010 for our community. I love serving the community as best I can. In 2011, I was in a dysfunctional HOA and helped transition and turn that over to the city, which works so much better now. And I've moved into a new HOA area that we weren't supposed to be in the HOA, and now we're finding out that we are. And there's 10 of us on a road, and I'm afraid this road's one of those redheaded stepchild roads in the town. So I'm reaching out to find the right people to work with. I think Mr. Harris, you're my contact for my area, so that I can just make the right contacts to make the right moves to help for those of us that are trying to annex from the HOA, leave the HOA functioning better without those turning over a road that I think could be better managed by the city and would actually serve the businesses at the top of the hill, the 10 houses on the hill, and the 137 homes at the bottom of the hill so much better if we just had a better change of management of that stretch of road in the city. So that's what I'm looking for, is making the right connections and moving forward that in the coming weeks. So that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, is there anyone else here in person that would like to address the council? You're welcome to come on up. Yeah.
I didn't know whether there was an agenda. My name is Frank Couric. I'm a long-term resident of South Jordan. I live at 11608 South Kitty Hawk Road. I'm here today to talk about a dangerous driving and pedestrian area on Kitty Hawk Road between Lake Avenue and 118th South. The area is unique because one side is a seniors community, Springhouse Village, and the other side is a common walking park area. Springhouse Village is a 55 plus community, but in reality has many seniors well beyond 55 years old, several who walk with canes, walkers, and wheelchairs. Many of us love to go for strolls or dog walks because this stretch of park is so close, but it requires a walk across Kitty Hawk. I have contacted the city in the past and have been very pleased at their quick responses. They've installed flashing speed limit signs and did a study. Our community really appreciates it, believe me. But we still have some problems, and that's why I'm here today. The area is still too dangerous. Sorry. With more construction of shopping to the south and a ballpark to the northeast, traffic will continue to increase. The number of elderly residents and homes in Springhouse Village is increasing. The population of Springhouse Village will continue to age, with more residents expected to need canes, walkers, and wheelchairs. It's very easy to speed in this zone. However, given the special nature of the neighborhood, 25 miles an hour is an appropriate speed limit. Recently, my wife and I sat on our patio at random times and documented car speeds. And we found that while the average speed may seem low, there are some cars that come through as high as 40 plus miles an hour in a residential 25 mile an hour speed limit. These can also make the occasional speeder more dangerous and could be a tragic accident waiting to happen. We like and appreciate the traffic calming features in place. We do not want to get rid of any of these calming features. We just want to further remind people that the speed limit is 25 miles an hour. We have noticed that many people do slow down when they see the flashing speed limit sign. We believe that people will obey the speed limit sooner if they are alerted to the lower speed sooner. We also think that people are not aware that this is a vulnerable area and similar to a school zone. We believe that if they knew, they would be more likely to honor the speed limit. In conclusion, we would like for the city of South Jordan to be aware that this area remains a dangerous spot, especially for our seniors, to consider adding flashing speed limit signs closer to Lake Avenue and to 118 South, further on down this stretch of road that borders our retirement community, our over 55 community, and to consider alerting drivers to the special nature of the area, perhaps with additional signs such as slow senior crossing. I don't mean slow senior crossing. Or slow elderly crossing, if something like that. And let's make drivers very aware that they need to slow down and why they need to slow down. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Kurek, is that how you say it?
Yes, Kurek, K-U-R-E-K.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate it. So we have one on the far east side of the city and one on the far west side of the city. We appreciate both of you being here. Is there anyone else here in person that would like to speak? Go ahead.
Hi. My name is Anthony Valdivieso. Would you like my address too?
Yes, please.
I live in 10761 South Weiss Drive. First, I just want to say this is my first city council meeting. I'm just very pleased to see how, you know, transit-oriented you guys are, and so that was something that was really nice to hear. I did just want to say I think protected bike lanes, especially on, like, Strode's, like, South Jordan Parkway and Redwood Road, those would be kind of nice, because I know in the daybreak parts of South Jordan Parkway, there's kind of just like painted bike gutters, and I know a lot of kids, because I used to go to school up at Mountain Creek Middle School, so I'd ride my bike a lot, and I knew a lot of kids ride their bikes up there, and it's, you can go on the sidewalk, but especially by the bridge, it's difficult to go on the sidewalk, so I think having maybe some buffered bike lanes, just with a median poles, something like that, you know, just to keep cars out, that would be probably help with the safety. Plus, a lot of kids like to go over to the Harmons. So, but yeah, that was kind of all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Anthony, I saw you nodding your head when I brought up transit and the need for transit in this whole part of the valley. And I appreciate that because we can only build so many lanes, and we do need other ways. And active transportation is another way that is important to get people around. And so you're already astute to that, and I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else here that would like to address the council during public comment?
I forgot to give you my address.
Do you need his address?
I have it for the record when I spoke
talking with him.
Okay.
So I wrote it down. I have it.
Okay. Thank you. But thank you. Yeah, we have to keep, like, we're required to keep track of it. Everything that happens here is all part of the public record. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. If there's no one else, I will. Last call. Nobody else? Okay. I'll close the public comment period and thank all of those who spoke. Just really quickly, what comes to mind is that our Traffic and Transportation Committee is probably the right group to work on both of these things. There's an application. I know there's a process, an evaluation process for what you're asking for. And I know, so I drive Kitty Hawk Drive a lot. I live in Sunstone, right next to you. So I take Kitty Hawk quite a bit because right now 118th is a mess. And so taking up Kitty Hawk is the fastest way, the only way for me to get out, right? And so I sometimes I go that way instead. And so I appreciate your remarks and I appreciate your comments. And I do appreciate the speed sign that's there that's been noticed. And I think it's valuable. But I'm going to ask maybe Mr. Clavinow and your team with the transportation committee. There are two different things that are being talked about here, but there's different processes. I think Brad Clavinow is the right point of contact for that. And as far as enforcement, continued enforcement, I know it's something our PD's been working on, but I'll ask for continued enforcement with that and communication with Mr. Couric as that comes about and is helpful. Hopefully that will be helpful. But Mr. Clavinow, our city engineer here, who oversees our transportation and our traffic committee, these are different things, but that would be the group that you would work through with application processes and evaluations and stuff like that. So,
Mayor, could I ask him one clarifying question? So is one of your major concerns getting across to that walking area?
It is. It's very difficult. There are many pedestrian crossings, which are very appreciated. But
sorry. Cars don't you need to come up to the mic. I'm sorry.
Have you on record.
Oh, yes, it is. And there are many pedestrian crossings along Kitty Hawk there, which are very much appreciated. But traffic doesn't slow down for crossings. Perhaps we could go with a flag system like they do in downtown Salt Lake. I don't know. I don't know the answer, but I know that we have to explore different ways without getting too costly. I mean, you know, I know putting up signs costs a lot of money, especially the lit up signs.
Well, that answered my question, because when I read your letter, I took it that you were concerned about getting across the streets safely.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And it's kind of maddening, especially for us seniors who live right on Kitty Hawk. We see these people zooming through. And, you know, these high school kids, you know, during school year, you know, I don't know if we can do any. We can't change people's minds, but we can remind them that this is an area where you need to be cautious. Well, how we go about that, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to explore that.
Great. Thank you. All right, thank you. We are now going to open, go to the next item, which is item G. We have two public hearing items. This is a light agenda tonight, which actually works out quite well because tonight is the National Night Out Against Crime. And every year, the city of South Jordan participates in that. And there's a lot going on next door at our public safety building for that, a big community event. And we have never gotten out of council meeting in time to go to the Night Out Against Crime ever. So the goal is tonight that we'll be done in time to go and be part of that event that we have happening next door. So it works out to be advantageous that tonight is a lighter agenda than, you know, sometimes they're really heavy, sometimes they're light, and tonight happens to be light, and it's great. So item G, we have two public hearing items. The first one is item G1, resolution R-2024-31, adopting the transportation master plan for South Jordan City. We are going to turn to our deputy city engineer, Mr. Jeremy Nielsen, for this.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. Tonight we've come before you a few times now in work sessions presenting the draft transportation master plan. And tonight we've drafted the resolution to formally update the transportation master plan with the information that we'll present. And we have Jeremy Searle here tonight with WCG. I think he's presented before. He's going to do a quick overview And then we can answer any questions that you have.
Jeremy, welcome back. Nice to see you.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here. And we love working with your wonderful staff here. They do such a wonderful job. Again, my name is Jeremy Searle with WCG, and it's been really fun to work on this master plan. In light of other things that you guys have planned tonight, we'll go through this quickly. We've talked about the transportation master plan before. We've really appreciated the comments we've received, and we've made some adjustments based on those comments that we've received in the past. We do have our story map, which goes along with the document of the master plan. So both of these should be in your packets, and you've seen those. The story map is helpful, I think, for staff, for the public, for developers, whomever is interested in the transportation plan for the city. It goes through kind of the goals and vision for the city, some of the population and demographic changes. We evaluate active transportation in the city, along with the existing infrastructure, and we've updated the planned recommendations for the future. So we have our planned projects here. And you can see, you know, trails and bike lanes and different improvements there on the plan. We've categorized these both by type of project and also by phase, so you can see those either way. The phases are the next 10 years, that's phase one, the following 10 years, phase two, and then out to 2050 is phase three. All right, so that's active transportation. Let's go down to transit. Again, this is obviously an important item on the city's mind. We're aware of the Fresh Look study. We know that there's additional things being planned and looked at for the whole Southwest Quadrant. We've got some information here for what's on the existing plans for both WFRC and UTA. They're not quite the same, but we have those shown here in the plan. And then we also have a South Jordan preferred transit plan that we've got on here. And we understand that this may change based on the things from the Fresh Look study. But we did also make some slight adjustments to this based on comments we received last time, I think from Councilmember McGuire, if I remember correctly. We adjusted that route to go out to the west part of Daybreak, shown in yellow there on the map. So that's been updated there. So that's kind of the transit preferred plan. I'll move down to roadway projects. I won't spend a lot of time on the travel demand model, but that's how we determine which roadways see a lot of additional demand in the future and where improvements are needed. But I'll show you the results. Sorry, it's hard to scroll a little bit on this trackpad. Here's the map for the roadway projects. You can see them by phase again. So red is those projects that we anticipate happening in the next 10 years. And then the ones in blue, the following 10 years, and then the ones in purple out to 2050. Sorry. I was hoping to get this better. There we go. All right, so some notable projects on here. Restriping 4000 West. We've got some widening on our east-west routes. We find those to be some of the most challenging in the southwest quadrant, is those east-west routes. We have a lot of good north-south routes, but we show some widening on east-west to improve that capacity there. Obviously, SR 111 is a project that's happening now. We talked about that in the past, about how it's not quite the full five lanes that it probably needs to be, but that's still in the works as well, I think. But so those are some of the kind of notable projects, as well as some new roadways here. And then you can see these also categorized by widening or new roadways. So the ones in red are new. The ones in blue are some widening existing roadways. All right. We also looked at intersections. We have quite a few intersection projects in the city, a number of signals and roundabouts and other intersection improvements here. So you can kind of see the location of those. Again, the ones in red are the ones that will happen in the next 10 years. As a point of interest, we'll be talking about impact fees here in a few moments. Impact fees can only be charged for projects in the next 10 years. So that's phase one. And they can only be charged for things that are directly attributable to new development. Yes.
I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Jeremy.
Jeremy, yes. Sorry. You just mentioned the word roundabout.
Yes.
Are you proposing or are you planning additional roundabouts out on the west side of our city?
Great question.
So we have a few roundabouts currently. I'm just curious. You said the word roundabout. I'm wondering.
I think 40th West and Bangor. 40th West and
that's a roundabout. Bangor.
So 40
not on Bangor, but, just west. The 40th West interchange that right now
really,
gets pretty busy.
That's going to be a roundabout.
That was what they presented before, isn't
so,
it?
No, it's actually an innovative intersection. It's a through turn type intersection is kind of the tentative plan right now. That's actually a phase two project, so that's more than 10 years away. So it's a little bit out there, but we understand that that's a busy project.
That's a big one.
Part of that's due to funding availability.
And one of the things that we decided with UDOT a while ago that we wouldn't do that project till they widen 114th South from 13th West up. It didn't make sense to do just that project and not the rest. So UDOT has that in a phase two project. So that's why we put that in phase two.
For the record, when you're driving west on 114th, you very often get stuck in that intersection. I hope you're all aware of that.
Absolutely.
It's extremely uncomfortable to be in a car in an intersection, Bangor, and you can't get anywhere because 40th is dysfunctional.
Understood. And that was a big item of discussion. In fact, I think we talked a little bit about it last time, but it is a problem, and we understand that. We did have a project there for it originally in phase one, but as Brad explained, we did move that to phase two based on UDOT needed to widen 114th, and then the availability of funding wasn't going to be available within the next 10 years. So,
okay. Well, I appreciate that. this transportation master plan is planned to be, we'll update this again in maybe 5 years? Okay.
Correct.
We'll work on that.
And we'll have how many thousands more people
we'll
in that intersection?
That. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. We did some safety and crash analysis here, and we've got some crash maps to go with that, as well as some statistics there. I will note that South Jordan has a very low crash rate, especially compared to the surrounding cities, which is great. So I think that speaks well to staff, to enforcement, and all that. So great job. Anyway, and then some additional map application if anyone wants to look, turn on different layers and look at different items of the master plan. So that's a quick overview. I'm happy to answer any questions or go into any more detail.
Thank you. We will bring you back up for questions after the public hearing.
Sounds great.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Just a reminder, all of this is in your packet, and it is the same thing that was presented to us in our work meeting that we went through more exhaustively, that we really went through, kind of fine-tooth comb. All right, I am now going to open the public hearing on Resolution R-2024-31, adopting the Transportation Master Plan for the City of South Jordan. Same structure as our public comment period. With that, if there's anyone that would like to speak specifically to this item in the public hearing, the time is now yours.
Hello, I'm Alexander Weech of 5098 West Rambutan Way. And unfortunately, I wasn't aware of this transportation master plan drafting process until this weekend, so I couldn't give comment earlier. But I have some concerns with the plan, most specifically around how much emphasis there is on street widening. I tallied up how much is proposed on street widening in the phase one, and there was over $156 million proposed to spend on that in UDOT projects, and over $75 million in projects that South Jordan will be more directly involved in. And I find that street widening will be counterproductive to our plans to increase mass transit usage because wider streets are more difficult to cross and you have to cross a street when you're a transit user. So if there's a seven-lane road, there needs to be a stoplight at every single bus stop, or else it's not a useful bus stop. And also, I was concerned that there was these line item allocations for like how much money is estimated to spend for each of these roadway widening projects, but the mass transit and active transportation projects had no similar monetary estimates. And I was especially concerned about the widening project proposed in front of the Smiths on Daybreak Parkway. The master plan points out there were two severe pedestrian incidents at the intersection Daybreak Parkway and Trail Crossing right there. And I fear that widening the street there will just make those pedestrian safety even worse, because there's more speeding cars and more distance that people have to cross. And thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Appreciate your comments and your input. Is there anyone else here that would like to speak to this public hearing item? Go ahead.
I'm up again.
We love it.
I also just want to say I agree with that guy.
I forgot his name. Your name for us.
Oh, sorry. Anthony Valdivieso. Address again. 10761 Southwest Drive. Yeah, so I agree with him about, I have the similar concerns about road widening projects, especially because road widening has been shown not to work. It induced and latent demand means that when roads are widened, traffic actually increases and even slows travel times. So there's more money spent on widening roads, more wasted space, and then more cars on the road. So traffic doesn't end up getting solved anyway. I had the same concerns about pedestrian fatalities and crossing difficulties. So I don't think more roads should be widened. But I did also think he's right about the traffic stuff too, or the transit stuff, sorry. If you do use transit, you probably are a pedestrian. It's going to be more difficult to cross increasingly wider roads. And wide road crossings are already a major issue. So... yeah, I personally don't think more roads should be widened, but primarily because it doesn't do anything to decrease traffic volumes. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here that would like to speak? Please.
Thank you, Council. Jen Robison with Rio Tinto. We're at 4700 Daybreak Parkway. And just wanted to thank Mr. Clavineau and the engineering team for the opportunity to provide some input and incorporate some feedback to that. And we're very supportive of the transportation master plan. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Jacob Smith. I've lived in Daybreak for the past 3 years at 5098 West Rambouden. Mayor, thank you for your comments at the beginning of this meeting. I think you have a good vision for making our community an enjoyable place, so I appreciate that. Regarding the master plan, I'll start with a few positives that I enjoyed seeing in the plan. Mostly the city's vision. You know, UTA has put together their own master plans for transit. I appreciated that the city put together their own vision, and I actually found the vision alternative of having 15-minute bus service west of Mountain View and Daybreak, as well as the 30-minute service connecting to South Jordan. That seemed like a very effective way to convey people, to my eye. I did have a few concerns, though, sort of following in the same vein as some of our previous citizens here with induced demand. I'm curious if the traffic models take that into consideration, the effect of induced demand, where we widen the roads, increase the capacity, and then the traffic just increases until it is congested again, and then we have to spend more money on those lanes and make our roads more unsafe. So I'm curious how that's been incorporated into the models, and you know, if there's a general awareness of that or understanding of that impact. One thing that really stood out to me is a giant bottleneck that I noticed in the models in the core of Daybreak, which is designed to be a walkable, light traffic area, somewhere you wouldn't expect to be run over. With the widening of 114th South and then the increased development in the western extent of Daybreak near Baucus Highway, I notice there's going to be a lot of traffic funneling through there, funneled right through the core of Daybreak. And looking in the models, that's the one spot that it's still red in the 2050 model. So again, I'm a little concerned we're not really solving our problems here, but rather making them worse. So thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Is there anyone else here in person that would like to speak during the, to this item? No? Seeing none, since this is a public hearing, is there anyone online that would like to speak to this item? If so, please turn on your camera and give us a wave. Okay. Thank you. Seeing none, I will close this public hearing and now turn to the council. See what questions you might have for our staff, for our consultants. See if you have any questions or anything you'd like to bring up. You have one?
Yeah.
Yeah, please go ahead.
I actually share a lot of the same concerns that have been brought up already. And I'm not sure the right solution for it. I hate seeing roads widened. Somehow we manage the growth on the east side of the valley without having to turn everything into a seven-lane highway. Yet when it comes to the new growth on the west side of the Salt Lake Valley, it seems like the solutions always widen the roads to seven lanes. So I really struggle, you know, with that. And then knowing though, we have all that land that Rio Tinto's annexing in. We have the shoreline development. People will have to be able to get to their homes. And trying to find a balance to ever get UTA on board, I'm glad, Mayor, that you're doing the heavy lifting with that fresh look and trying to get UTA to realize the demands out here. So I guess I'd like our experts, one of the two Jeremys, to address kind of those concerns and how we plan for those. You know, one thing I saw on the map that you guys have heard me talk about for 6 years, I brought it up in our previous meeting, is something as simple as 40th West and that getting widened. Well, not widened, restriped. It is a restriping project. But then realizing the influence that will have on parking in the neighborhood, especially around South Jordan Parkway. And as I drive that home from coming from downtown Salt Lake, sometimes I end up on 40th West coming home. Really, once I'm out of the West Jordan area, I feel like the floodgates have been opened and you can actually travel without issues. Yet on our map, we're showing that we need to be restriping our sections. And so just trying to understand the balancing point, I guess, is really to start with.
Jeremy's?
Yes.
Expert Jeremy.
Expert Jeremy.
Can we go first?
Yeah, please go ahead, Jeremy.
Okay. First of all, I want to say I really appreciate the intelligent comments that we received tonight. I present a lot of different cities, and usually the comment is, my commute is terrible, why haven't you fixed it, right? And so I really appreciate the knowledge and the questions that were brought tonight. First of all, I just want to comment, it is a balance, right? It's not never widen and it's not always widen, right? There's a balance. One thing we have to remember is South Jordan is a rapidly growing community, right? And when we compare it to, say, Salt Lake is pretty well built out, but it's densifying in the middle. And that's where we don't look at widening anymore. We look at other ways to get around, right? It's dense, people can get around in shorter distances, right? South Jordan is rapidly growing. There's thousands of new units in development. And so, yes, we don't want to widen everywhere, but we also do need to accommodate for that and plan for that, right? And so that's one of the things that we have to take into account. I also heard a little bit about the east side versus the west side, and I've heard that before, and I know especially in the southwest quadrant that's a challenge with these east-west corridors. I want to address that a little bit. There's just so much more land and densities along the west side of the valley. If we stopped all development right at Bangor, yeah, we could get away with five-lane roads, you know, east-west. But the fact that we have all the way out to the Ochre Mountains with all that additional density and all that, it puts a lot of stress and pressure on those east-west routes. And that's why you're seeing that widening. We don't love seven-lane roads either, but we have to accommodate that east-west travel somehow, because that's where the demand is. That's where people need to get to. Yes, we encourage transit strongly. Yes, we put a lot of emphasis on trails and active transportation, but that just doesn't handle all of it. And so there's got to be all three components. So that's kind of a quick overview on that. Jeremy, maybe you want to add to that?
Yeah, no, you hit it really well. I was just going to mention that a lot of the modeling, what Jeremy does, it assumes a level of service. And so, for example, historically in our transportation master plan, we have tried to maintain a level of service of D or higher. And if the public chooses to accept a lower threshold, more delay, more congestion, then, you know, that changes the projects and would change the way the master plan looks. And so it's just a question of balance. Historically, we've always used that level of service D or higher.
Yeah, correct. Okay.
Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead, and then we'll turn to Mrs. Zammer.
Jeremy Nelson. So as we move forward with this plan, are things implemented once there's a warrant study done showing the need for it? I mean, just how's kind of like the next step going forward? You know, it shows in phase one for a project, but what's the actual trigger for it?
Good question. So yes, when there's a need for it, that would be the trigger. Traffic signals are pretty clear because it is when they're warranted. We wait until one of those warrants is triggered, and then we would proceed with the traffic signal. Road widenings like 4000 West are a little bit different. Once it gets adopted into the transportation master plan, then a lot of times we'll seek grant funding, and if we are successful, then we will proceed with those projects once it's approved in the transportation master plan.
So there's a lot of things that are more just once funding's available. They get
yes. Yeah, traffic signals are very specific on warrants. Mm-hmm. Those are done, you know, when it's warranted, but the road widening projects are more when funding is available once the transportation master plan's approved.
And with some of the lights, especially on 118th as we go out towards Bacchus Highway, is it a possibility for those to be transitional, that maybe put in a Hawk light first and see if that helps, or is it just straight? We would need a traffic light to control pedestrian traffic and cars all going different directions. Or I just look at that and I just, right now, our city, you guys do a wonderful job with the lights that you control. I wish you controlled them all because you do that good of a job on them. My wife can actually tell you which ones you controls and which ones are UDOT's. But it just seems like we're going to have a cluster of lights on, you know, 118th out towards Bacchus Highway. And yeah, I don't know if roundabouts are maybe a first step, and, you know, versus a light. It just seems like we're going to set ourselves up for a lost stop and go on our west side.
Yeah, there are several planned future traffic signals that would be needed on 118th South. You know, obviously they wouldn't be installed until there was enough volume coming from the minor street to justify it. Yeah. When we look at those traffic signals, we certainly look at, you know, what makes the most sense to put there. But for those locations, and maybe Jeremy could chime in on this as well, for those locations, we're definitely looking that the traffic volumes are going to drive the need for a full traffic signal at those locations.
And Councilman McGuire, your question is a good. If it's pedestrians that's warranted, would we better be off with the Hawk signal initially? And we did that one time, and then it wasn't too long later we're taking it out and putting the signal in, and okay. So you have lost costs there. So yeah. I don't know. It's something we'd have to really balance. And we are interconnecting the signals now for the most part with fiber, and it helps coordinate them, and they run a little smoother, or coordinate smoother, yeah. I guess.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mrs. Adler, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. First of all, thank you so much for that perspective. I appreciate the comments that have all been made, but I appreciate your perspective of us comparing to the east side. I'm sitting here having heartburn, and then you brought to our attention our population, if we stopped at Bangor, would compare to the east side, and we're way beyond that, and we've got more coming. So, yeah, buckle up. I appreciate that because that helps us wrap our heads around the fact that we have double or triple the density west of I-15 that they have. So my question is, when you look at the 106th east-west connection and then the 114th that becomes 118th east-west connection, have you projected which one of those, I know I have my opinion, which one of those is you're going to put the bulk of the traffic onto? And what is your plan? Because they both come east-west and they'll connect from Bacchus all the way over. Can you give me a little bit of perspective on that? Because I've had residents ask me, you know, which one is faster? And, you know, they're trying to find the quick fix to get out of the west side onto the... What is your projection? Are you thinking you're going to funnel most of the traffic because of the way that the roads have been designed by Larry H., the Daybreak Group? Or have you got a design and a plan for that? Funneling of traffic. Does that make sense, my question?
That's a great question. I would say there's not a priority over one versus the other. A good transportation system provides options and well-spaced options, right? If we only have, I'll use West Jordan as the bad example for a second. They only have 90th east-west, right? They have a couple others, but they end like at the airport or whatever. They only have one road that goes through their town that goes the whole way. And it just puts so much strain on 90th, right? And so there's not, say, we're not saying 106 is a priority or 118th is a priority or one will be faster than the other. It's that we need well-spaced arterials to get people in and out of there. Otherwise, we end up with a gridlock situation like at 90th, and that's what we're trying to avoid. So I don't know if that directly answers your question, but I think we're trying to space those out.
So both are a priority?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So with that question... Another follow-up question is back to the traffic lights that Mr. McGuire said. Like, I do travel from the far west side all the way east, as does the mayor. And our light coordination has gotten much better. Mm-hmm. When this kind of keeps evolving out, who will coordinate that 118th section on the west side of Mountain View Corridor? Will that be us as a city?
Very curious to the answer of that.
So do you know right now, because it seems like, and you can correct me, from Bangor going east is our city coordinating through the district and all of that. That's our city. Because I can get from
correct.
There.
That's you. That's correct. So from Bangor west is the city of South city. Jordan.
Bangor east is Utah. Mm-hmm.
Same with South Jordan Parkway.
Okay, because I'm finding I can do that effectively. But from Bangor West to Bacchus, that won't be the city?
No, that is. Bangor West. Bangor East is UDOT.
Okay. Okay. So Bangor West is us. Mm-hmm. Okay. On both 106th and 118th. Right. Okay, thank you. And that'll be in perpetuity, right? Forever?
As far as I'm concerned, it is. Okay. I wouldn't want the state taking it over, but.
So those then are state, our city roads?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Clavino.
You have a question? Go ahead, Mr. Shelton.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciated being able to hear your presentation and read through it earlier. And I just thought it was so interesting that we have really close to the same number of people commuting out of our city for work as commute into our city for work. And I just am intrigued with the idea of how do we reduce that, or, you know, make that number so that people are working more in the city, and I don't know. Anyway, something to think about for the future. I'm also intrigued with this 114th and 40th, and I totally understand why we delay that, because UDOT owns that road, and widening that road makes sense before we do our intersection change, but we in fact have an intersection at fail. It's a failure.
Mm-hmm. At peak, at peak
time. I'll bet every one of us have had the opportunity to sit where Mrs. Zander has sat before. Yeah, and so we have an intersection that's at failure, and it feels like UDOT is saying, well, too bad, we'll get around to it in the next 20 years kind of thing. And I wonder how we as a council can help influence that. You know, can we get them to move us up? I mean, can WFRC help us there, Mayor?
The phasing would have to go through WFRC, but it also, if we're not going to do it, if the deal was that we're going to wait until they restripe, because I don't think the widening, remind me, is the widening at 114th just a restripe?
I think for the most part it was
It's mostly restriping.
Small widening. Yes, it is, because it's going to have the imbalanced lanes with three going westbound, right. two coming eastbound.
Yeah. But we're not like tearing out homes, we're not doing anything like that on 114th. Right. So I want to make sure people know that when we say widening roads, we're not talking about ripping out everything down 114th. That's not what we're talking about here.
Right.
Okay, I think that's important to note. But yes, I agree with that. Waiting on the 40th, I don't like that either. And so if the agreement was we'll wait on that until you do 114th, that's why I said, so this is only good for 5 years, right? We maybe can work on that in the next 5 years because.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think we ought to be.
I think that's too far away.
Pinging our representatives.
or future representatives. Yeah. Yes.
About the fact that, you know, we have an intersection at failure and it's not being dealt with, you know, and for valid reasons, you know, it's an intersection that we would deal with if UDOT would do their part first. I also think it's kind of interesting to note that while we have a very cool plan here, a lot of that plan depends on agencies that are outside the city, you know? And so UDOT controls, to a great extent, all of our collector streets. And if I'm using the correct terms, I'm not positive I am, but anyway, they control a lot of our major streets, north, south, and east, west, till we get west of 40th. And then UTA controls the transit part of the game, you know, and so really, in some ways, I kind of feel like, well, we can work on our subdivision streets, and we can work on those that are west of 40th, but after that, it's kind of UDOT's territory. And so that really gets to our political influence. And Mayor, I'm so glad that you have so much political influence. I'm really thrilled about that, and hope that we can all figure out how to leverage our influence to.
And Councilmember Shelton, it's important that we get these in the master plan, because I don't know if you recall, the last time we did a master plan update, we found that UDOT was wrong on 114th South, which led us to do the solutions development and led us to this. And so UDOT's not always correct on their modeling and their projections. So it's important that we do our thing, and then we can help use that to leverage UDOT and the state to move things forward. But we also need political help sometimes.
And to make sure that the Wasatch Choice Vision Plan of WFRC is accurately reflecting what our master plan is for transportation. And that's exactly. Yeah. And that's also why the workshop that we have coming up, you know, is important, because that's what we do. Sit down, go through those maps and say, this is what it is. Yeah. You know, this is what it needs to be.
Great.
Thank you. Mayor. Thank you. Anybody else have any questions, comments? Go ahead.
I just have a comment. And, you know, as we look at this plan, I mean, a lot of this is forecasting out, you know, based on future expected population growth as we continue to, you know, build more homes. I appreciate that we're on top of that, you know, and have a plan how to address that, you know. Is everything in there perfect? No, it's not perfect. You know, I don't know if there is a perfect scenario. I mean, adding additional traffic lights, you know, that's, people don't always enjoy that. But I also understand as the roads get busier, then it warrants, you know, the additional traffic lights and all those things happen. So I get the process. But what I can say is for all the people here is one thing that's really nice is that directly what, you know, Mr. Clavino was saying is our staff getting involved in this process as we get closer to each of these projects going along. We're going to be able to go in there, you know, the council, whether this is the council, there's going to be new council members probably sitting here at some point in time when some of these things are happening. And, you know, and it's important that, you know, we have good elected officials that and we have good city staff members that can go look at these things and say, hey, as these projects get a little closer, say, how can we, you know, if we see some things that maybe need to adjust or make some recommendations, that we can tweak these things to make them as good as absolutely possible. And ultimately, we do need to, you know, with the growth, the growth is coming. I mean, there are, we know what's happening. We see what the forecasts are, you know. And so we're going to have to be able to move more cars, but I think there is optimal ways to be able to do that, and I'm just glad that we have the staff that we have, and you know, to be able to work through those and provide the most optimal scenarios when those things come up.
Thank
That's
you.
It. Yeah.
That's
good. Mm-hmm.
Anyone have any other comments or questions?
I'll just have one short one.
Go ahead.
As you were saying, if you don't have a vision, if you don't have a plan, then you'll never get started. And so this is really a great place to be able to have people to be able to see it. The developers that come to our community will see it and will be able to work from this plan. I'm sure it won't look 100% like it's laid out, but probably none of us will be here to criticize. But it'll be thank you so much for putting all the effort and time into it, and I'm sure we'll be reading it many a day. And thank you.
Thank you. Just really quick, I just wanted to touch on, for people's information, based on what Mrs. Zander was saying, our data, this plan is very data-driven. It is data-driven. This isn't any of us. What would our wish list look like? What would be, because it would look different. It would be, we all have our wishes that it would look like. This is very data-driven plan. And just for information, our numbers tell us there's 25,418 people who come into South Jordan to go to work every day, and 28,664 people who leave the city of South Jordan to go to work every day. So when Mrs. Zander said, what do we do about that? It's job centers. It's exactly what we're doing in the downtown Daybreak development here in South Jordan, working on putting job centers. We've got great corporate job centers on the east side of our city. We don't have any on the west side of our city or the west side of any of our neighboring cities. None of those have job centers that are corporate job centers. That is key. And it's what we're working really hard with our friends at Daybreak on to make happen in that downtown Daybreak development, because we do need, we've got a highly educated, very well prepared and highly skilled population here in South Jordan. And we need to provide opportunities for really good employment closer to home. So we are working on that. It's a big work in progress, but we're working on creating a hub for this entire region, because it doesn't exist out on the west side yet. We have homes, we don't have job centers. Another thing that comes to mind is transit, and this was brought up a lot. We've talked about it. Our members of the public who commented talked about transit. This is the reason, this is the impetus behind the fresh look at transit. This is the reason that I'm using the bully pulpit as chair of WFRC to try to make this happen, because UTA has their 5-year capital projects plan laid out, and not $1 is being spent on capital projects in our city. What?
None in the next 5 years from UTA. That's not okay. And it's also not okay that it's not happening in any of the Southwest quadrant. There's not any money for new capital projects allocated by UTA. I appreciate that strengthening the core of the system that exists downtown is important, but we have the same population in our region that they have in the urban downtown region with no transit. So that is what this fresh look at transit is trying to change and trying to bring about a vision that is implementable. As you were talking about having this on a transportation master plan and how do we move these things up, luckily the Wasatch Choice Vision is a living document that can be amended. We update it every 4 years as a Wasatch Front Regional Council, but it also can be amended at any time. So as these things continue to happen and happen faster and need to happen faster than 20 years from now, there's a way to do that. There's a way to do that, which just comes down to, as you said, we work with the best data and the best people and make the best plans we can, and then we'll do what we can and need to use our
political capital and our influence to try to make sure that these things get done, because it's what needs to get done. So really, thank you for your comments on making sure that we have a good plan in place. We do have a good plan in place, and appreciate all the work that's gone into it. It isn't perfect, and it won't look exactly like this 5 years from now, 10, 20, 30 years from now. We will continue to update it like we do every 5 years and work with all of the different partners to make sure that our priorities are priorities. So thank you. All right, with that, I'm going to ask if there is a motion on Resolution R-2024-31, adopting the Transportation Master Plan for South Jordan City.
Mayor, I'll move to approve Resolution R-2024-31, adopting the Transportation Master Plan for South Jordan City.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mrs. Zander. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Shelton. Any additional discussion to this? All right, seeing none, Mrs. Crookston, would you please lead the council in a roll call vote?
Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
And Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Thank you. That has been approved, and all of the comments that have been received through the entire period have been noted. And thank you for all the work that's gone into this. So much work has gone into this, and it's not perfect. It will continue to be worked on. And we are growing fast. We have been one of the, I mean, the U.S. Census named South Jordan one of the 10 fastest growing cities in America. We've got a lot of fast growing cities in the state, but South Jordan was the only one named one of the 10 fastest in the entire country. It is what it is. We're going to continue to grow, and we are going to continue to stay ahead of it and to make sure that we drive and vision that growth far in advance. Appreciate our partners at Rio Tinto for working with us far in advance of development on that west area to make sure that road design and placement and things are planned years ahead of development to make sure that we do have an integrated system all the way through. We appreciate that. So thank you. Thanks, you guys. Okay, very quickly, I'd like to welcome Tracy Miller is here. She's the president of the Board of Education for Jordan District, and Tracy's joined us. Just want to welcome you and thank you for coming. Thanks for being here. All right, and now item G2, we have Ordinance 2024-15, adopting an amended and updated transportation impact fee facilities plan and impact fee analysis, adopting an amended and updated impact fee for transportation, establishing certain policies related to impact fees for road infrastructure, establishing certain policies related to impact fees for road, that says the same exact thing twice, establishing certain policies related that says to related to impact fees for transportation infrastructure, establishing service areas and or other related matters. Jeremy, take it away. That's okay. A mouthful, but so much work has gone into this. This is just a million pages of data, and I appreciate all the analysis that's gone into this. So Jeremy, please take it away.
Thank you, Mayor. So from that transportation master plan, then from there we prepared the impact fee facilities plan that captures, estimates a lot of the cost of those projects that are identified in the master plan. And then following that, we have Fred Philpott here with LRB that will talk about our impact fee analysis that was done. And so this ordinance is to adopt that those two plans, the impact fee facilities plan and the impact fee analysis. And with that, Fred, I'll...
Thank you. Fred, welcome. We appreciate you being here. We always appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thank you.
All of the data and information you bring. Thank you.
Alrighty, as Jeremy indicated, our role was helping establish the impact fee analysis and the schedule for the impact fees. Jeremy at WCG and his team established and developed the impact fee facilities plan. Both of those elements are required to establish an impact fee and provide that impact fee schedule as part of your ordinance. We've completed the process up into the public hearing, which we have this evening. That process required pre-noticing the analysis and development of the impact fee schedule, and then fulfilling noticing requirements to hold the public hearing. As a legislative body, you have now the option to, following the public hearing, to adopt, modify, or reject the impact fees. And the statute requires that any change to the impact fee, there's a 90-day wait period before those impact fees are effective. The methodology utilized for all impact fees and for the transportation impact fees follow these five steps that we discussed previously as part of the work session. We need to look at the service area and demand analysis. We need to look at the inventory of existing facilities. We need to look at the level of service. Jeremy mentioned that as part of the master planning process, that feeds into the impact fee equation as well. We also need to look at identifying existing and future facilities that will be utilized to serve specifically new growth. So the master plan will look at the system as a whole and identify all elements that are needed to serve existing and future residents. The impact fee isolates only the growth-related costs specific to the service areas that are impact fee eligible, defined by statute. Once we've identified those facilities based on the level of service and demand, we then look at additional revenue resources that may be necessary to construct that infrastructure. So as discussed as part of the master planning exercise, there's alternative funding mechanisms from other organizations considered in the master plan, as well as other funding outside of impact fees that will be necessary to construct that infrastructure. In some cases, we'll roll in debt financing. We have not included that in this calculation process for the transportation impact fees, but that is a qualified cost when looking at additional revenue resources. Once we bring all of that together, then we complete a proportionate share analysis for each of the service areas, and that's what this table identifies. The objective is to define the fee per unit or demand variable that is evaluated as part of the master planning and the impact fee facilities plan. In this case, it's a cost per trip. So we've calculated that for the three service areas that were evaluated. So we had the South Jordan proper, which is all areas excluding the other two service areas, which include the Daybreak service area and the Rio Tinto service area. Here's the table that identifies the cost included for the South Jordan proper service area with a cost per trip of $360.88. This includes existing facility buy-in, the future facilities for roadways and intersections, and the professional expense. Here's the calculation of the Daybreak cost per trip with a base cost at $85.41. And then we account for a credit for the impact of the other service areas on the Daybreak service area. And so that provides an offsetting amount there with a final cost per trip of $74.78. And then for the Rio Tinto service area, here we have a bit more infrastructure cost when evaluating that service area, resulting in a higher cost per trip of $502.25. My understanding is that you've been presented with a revised ordinance addressing this specifically. The idea here is that the ordinance, while we've calculated the cost per trip here for the Rio Tinto service area, the ordinance does not recommend adopting an impact fee for the Rio Tinto service area at this time, but it would be considered in the future as those developer agreements and the master planning for that service area materializes. And that's common, that communities will, with specific areas, look at evaluating impact fees as that information becomes more solid or concrete. So while we've calculated it here, the revised ordinance that you have recommends no impact fee at this time for that service area. The final schedule here in the presentation provides a summary of the calculated impact fee by land use. So once we have the cost per trip, then we look at the different land uses and calculate a fee per land use type. This isn't all of the land uses that are found in the impact fee analysis, nor is it all of the land uses that may develop within the city of South Jordan. This is a sample of that from the impact fee, and we also reference the Institute of Traffic Engineers in our report as a way to identify additional land uses outside of the schedule that we present. But here are some typical uses. We have single family, multifamily, light industrial, general office, and retail uses with the calculated fee for each of the service areas for the South Jordan proper, the Daybreak, and the Rio Tinto. Again, the Rio Tinto is provided as illustrative purposes with the intent to reevaluate that in the future. As I indicated, the next step is to hold a public hearing. After the public hearing, you have the option to adopt, modify, or reject. If you choose to modify, you can modify below. What we're presenting here is the ceiling. I've had some instances where there's concern that it's we've missed something, we would have to go back and restart the process or open that back up if we want to modify above what we're showing in the impact fee analysis. Any change requires that 90-day wait period that I referenced. That provides a brief summary, and again, as we work through this, I'm happy to address questions from the public hearing and following that.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. I am now going to open the public hearing on Ordinance 2024-15, adopting an amended and updated transportation impact fee facilities plan and impact fee analysis. This is the same thing as our previous public hearing and our public comment period. Is there anyone here in person that would like to speak specifically to this item? Okay, seeing none, is there anyone online that would like to speak to this item? If so, please turn on your camera and give us a wave. Okay. Seeing none, I will close the public hearing and turn to the council for any questions or comments that you have for Fred or Jeremy. Just to note, we went through this extensively in a previous work meeting, a public work meeting, and we really went through all of this. And also a reminder that impact fees are not, they don't apply to any existing residents or existing structures. This is not for existing anything in the city. This would be all anything new that would happen in the city. And we update this about every 5 years, about every 5 years. We do an analysis to determine if they're right where they should be, if they need to be lower, if they need to be higher. We reassess this. So with that, we have all this information from Fred and from, we appreciate everyone who's worked on this. Anybody have any questions?
Mayor, I have one question.
Please go ahead.
Has anyone looked at the impact fees of our surrounding neighbors and how we compare? I mean, I just wonder with these increases if that's going to have an impact on our development. Has anybody, are we in the same ballpark or are we high, low?
Yeah, we often look at comparisons. And while we didn't provide a comparison table here, the presentation is not any longer, but it is in the ballpark relative to communities that are updating their impact fees. The challenge with comparisons are that it really depends on levels of service and where you're at on the growth spectrum. So if a community that is experiencing high growth with a lot of new infrastructure, their impact fees are typically higher because we're funding that newer infrastructure versus a community that is more built out and filling in the gaps within their system. And so it's primarily a buy-in to the existing system with some new infrastructure baked into that. That fee will be a little bit lower. But you know, on average, the proposed fees are not outside of kind of that bandwidth.
We're competitive, yeah. Because
yes, you know, I mean, our primary objective is to identify the maximum allowable so that you can maintain that level of service within your community and ensure that the impact fee is a funding mechanism to help maintain that level of service. But those comparisons, again, are beneficial to, you know, from an economic development perspective.
Thank you.
Good question. Thank you. Anyone have any other questions or comments? Mr. Shelton.
I just wonder if you could talk in a little more detail and help me and others understand what the buy-in is on existing facilities.
Sure. So when we look at impact fees, and look at that new infrastructure that's necessary to serve new development, you know, that's pretty clear, right? We need to build new roads or widen roads or build signals or intersections. But those improvements connect into an already established system. You have a backbone that has already been constructed that serves both existing and potentially future residents and future development. And so we can, by statute, include that existing backbone when calculating the impact fee. So new development, as they benefit from the infrastructure that you've already constructed, that cost and investment that is incurred can be pulled into the calculation of the impact fee and recouped through the collection of impact fees. So it's a way for new development to pay back for that infrastructure that has already been built. We call that the buy-in component. You're buying into that existing infrastructure. And so we include that. Often it's, again, for high growth communities like South Jordan, it tends to be the smaller portion of the fee. Because it's spread over a much larger denominator or base, we're spreading it over all existing and the future residents within not only that 10-year window that we look at for impact fees, but potentially even beyond that 10-year window, because it's going to serve the community for a longer period of time. So that's that buy-in component.
Thank you.
Question. Anyone else? Go ahead.
Just a comment, Mayor, and that is I'm really happy anytime we have these impact studies, and I'll tell everyone why. I mean, impact fees are, in my opinion, a wonderful thing. It's, you know, we pay really close attention. There's a correlation between taxes and impact fees. And if we, you know, when we're having to go in there and add more roads and widen all these things that we're talking about, all these things cost money. And if we can get, you know, so that the people that are building homes and businesses, you know, they're the reasons why these things are expanding. And if they, in that development, if they can pay for the cost for this additional growth, then we don't have to go back and tax the residents to be able to have this growth. That's the whole point of the impact fees. So it's like, as we grow as a city, we don't have to go back and keep raising taxes for this growth. It's just, it can go where it belongs. And so, and then we're just trying to get the right amount. I mean, that's the reason we hire, you know, financial advisors, you know, to go in there and make this assessment, say, here's really what the true cost is for this additional development, and we'll go ahead and assess an impact fee. And so I'm thankful for doing that with when we know these things keep going up, you know, with inflationary costs, you know, that's really why we're doing another study. I mean, that's one of the main reasons is these inflationary costs that we continue to see, so we have to stay on top of it. So, but it's really well done, so I appreciate you taking the time to do that.
Great comment. Yeah. Thank you for mm-hmm. really making that clear.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anyone have anything else? Okay, thank you. Seeing none, I will now turn to the council and see if there is a motion. I will read the ordinance on ordinance 2024-15, adopting an amended and updated transportation impact fee facilities plan and impact fee analysis, adopting an amended and updated impact fee for transportation, establishing certain policies related to impact fees for road infrastructure, establishing certain policies related to impact fees for transportation infrastructure, establishing service areas and or other related matters. Is there a motion on this?
Madam Mayor, I'm not going to repeat that, so I'm just going to say...
That's why I read it.
I'll move that we approve ordinance 2024-15 as you stated.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mr. Harris.
Yeah.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. With a second by Mr. McGuire. Any additional discussion? All right, seeing none, Mrs. Crookston, would you please lead the council in a roll call vote?
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
And Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, all of you, for your great work on this and everyone else who played a role, a part in it. Thank you. All right, we are to item H, staff reports and calendaring items. We will turn to our city manager first, Mr. Lewis.
Just a couple of calendaring items for you. As you might recall, this Saturday will be the end of summer bash, which is happening out on the west side of the city. We're a partner to that. I believe Melanie added that to your calendars today. I know it's a bit of a late notice, but the details will be in your calendar invite for that.
Highland Park, right?
No, it was moved.
It's been moved Bingham to Creek, Bingham Creek. Right?
Yeah. Yeah,
it was at Highland Park last year, yes. But they moved it this year.
Yeah.
This is our combo event with the Daybreak, Live Daybreak.
With the Live Daybreak folks to end our summer.
So what time does it start for those that are listening?
6 or 6:30.
Second item I have for you is, I know it was late notice late last week, but the Larry H. Miller team wanted to provide you a tour of the progress on the ballpark. That's been scheduled for Monday at 3. They have asked that we're going to meet just behind home plate. They'll send me a map that I will forward to you to show you how to get to that location, because part of that road is closed, but they will have somebody there to let you navigate in and get to that spot. So they'll send the map shortly. They are asking that you wear closed-toed shoes and clothing that can get a little bit dusty. They will provide the hard hats, the safety glasses, vests, and all other necessary items to be on that construction site. So I will include that in my notes to you at the end of the week when I get that map. So those are the two items I wanted you to be aware of, and that's all I have.
Can I add one more to that? And that's sure. Our Corporate Citizen Award tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sorry, I totally forgot that. Yes, tomorrow is the Corporate Citizen Award. That will be held out at Station 64. I believe that starts at 11:30. So hopefully you can all join us for that and our recognition of our I don't know if it's been publicly announced, so I'm not going to say it. So we'll be recognizing them tomorrow at 11:30. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Luce, do you have anything for us?
We're meeting Mayor and I, and I think Dustin, with our lobbyists in the upcoming week. So if there's anything high on your mind, legislatively, state or federal, please let me know.
Funding for 40th West, 114th
yes.
South?
Mr. Garrison lit up my Mr. Garrison lit up my text during meeting on that one, and I told him he has the biggest budget, so I'll happily talk about it. So, Brad Clavenot makes that wish list. It wasn't on there this time, but I guess it'll be on the
list. But we've got a lengthy wish list this
40th
time.
40th West.
As good as our list keeps growing.
We have quite a list.
Yeah, I get my road wish list from him, and he didn't have it on there. So,
but if they find some of them, next year's list will be smaller, maybe.
I've never got a smaller list from Brad. That's funny.
The problem with that intersection, until UDOT really widens,
until they do their project,
it's really hard to do that intersection, and that's why we pushed it back out of phase one. So hopefully, like we talked about, we can get it moved up, but it's going to be difficult to do that project without the rest of the road being widened. And then we have to be prepared as public. A lot of people don't like those through you left turn movements, so like over in Draper and mm-hmm. having down in West Valley. So
yeah.
Giant roundabout, European sure style.
Mr. Clavenot.
Go around it.
Mr. Clavenot, I know we've chatted about 40th West. We've joked about it. We're all very serious about it, at least those of us that go through it daily. Is it possible that you could provide us, like, I know you're talking about this through left. We've talked about it a lot of times. Could you share maybe in an email or somewhere, what is the thought process and how that's going to look? Because then those of us that live out there and experience it daily could maybe even start teeing up the public, hey, this is coming. I mean, I'd like to proactively help in any way.
Yeah, I'll look. We had a diagram at one time. I'll have to see if I can find that.
I remember we discussed it once.
And the good thing, it's only in one direction. It's not like the one in Draper where it's all four directions, but it's just would only be in the westbound to go south. So
I would ask if you wouldn't mind sharing that. I'd like to wrap my hand around it.
I'm off the next couple of days. I'll try to find that when I get back and send it out.
No rush. That's great. Next week's fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lewis, anything else?
No, I think that's good.
We are going to be starting a full course.
We're coordinating some other stuff, so we'll get you a calendar.
Local lobbying efforts and our federal lobbying efforts. So.
Yeah, there with the election stuff, it's kind of a interesting time of who we approach and stuff. So,
good, thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else have anything for us? Anything we need to know? Please.
I sent all of you an email, I think towards the end of last week, explaining at 98th and Bangor how the pedestrian bridge is not going to be in by school like it was supposed to be. Their contractor, supplier, or sub on that is, I don't know what happened, but they're not going to have it till about middle of October now. So their plan is still to close the east-west route mid-October, but when I look what's going on out there, I'm thinking they're not going to have the ramps ready by then. I know they're having another issue on the sound wall, part of it's retaining and getting that material. So we'll see how that goes over the next couple months. But as far as the pedestrian bridge, that will not be in by the time school starts. The contractor is kind of upset because now he has to pay for busing for the next couple months.
That was my question. Are they going to pay to bus the kids?
That's what I've been told by Marwan at UDOT, that the contractor will pay, and they've been in contact with the school district.
I'm going to invite in a minute Mrs. Miller to come up if she has anything she'd like to share, but go ahead.
Yeah. So anyhow, that's that issue. We do have some overlay projects. It started 40th West and then 27th, 4800 West. So that'll be ongoing over the next month. And then I just found out this today, but I don't know the exact dates, but you're going to like this, Mayor. The South Valley Sewer District.
Please tell me they're going to wrap up a year early.
Well, they're going to go to about the east end of the school. They're going to stop and repave before school starts, but they're going to start that paving between Mountain View or where they hit 18 or Daybreak up to Trail Crossing here in the next week, and they need to completely close eastbound for a few days.
Eastbound 118?
Yeah, or Daybreak Parkway, right in front of Smith's.
It already is.
No, I drove it today.
Oh, I can't get out of my neighborhood at all.
Oh, did they have it closed? Okay. I know I've been through there where it's one lane, but
I was there today.
Oh, it's going to be completely shut down again where you have to be rerouted down through?
Eastbound is. Yeah. Westbound, I got them to at least keep one lane open, but
You should see my commute these days. It is scenic. Yeah.
That probably hasn't helped Kitty Hawk really with the construction going on.
But hasn't. Yeah.
But anyhow, so I just want you to be aware that's coming. I don't know dates yet. When I exact dates, we'll let you know.
But the intention is to get that area that I was most concerned about today, talking about right there, that all the high school students are going to have to use to get in.
Their commitment was to get repaved before school opens. And they're going to stop there, and then they'll come back next summer and finish it up to 6,000 West. So,
we can't have high school kids navigating that.
But you know how construction goes. But I hope that's what the commitment they stay with. Part of the problem in this project, most of it's in Harriman. And Harriman approves these things, and they don't talk to us. And then we find out later on. And so we've had a little bit of communication problems.
Well, I've known about this, that this was going to come, this larger sewer pipe, since I was on the sewer district board. It's been in the works for a long time, and I knew I would hate it. I hated it all along. I do hate it. It is so hard to live where I live right now.
It's a good thing we did it at the same time all the Bangor interchanges are going on. So.
Yeah, we'll get through it. Yeah.
Thank you. We'll bring in popsicles if they get settled.
Actually, they were supposed to start this a year ago, but there were some issues with UDOT and the Mountain Board corridor to push them off a year, so I didn't help.
Brad did have some. A good meeting with some pretty good outcomes and information that's been a long time in the making with UDOT about Mountain View Corridor today. Made some good progress there. So
tell us some good news. That would be great.
Kind of happy with the outcomes of that.
We've been haggling over them with ramps near Daybreak Parkway. They were going to eliminate some on and off ramps there. So we had a 6-hour meeting, three weeks ago. And
that's the whole purpose of it.
Yeah. So anyhow, we met today. They found a way to make those work. And so the northbound on-ramp just north of Daybreak Parkway and the southbound off-ramp just south north of Daybreak Parkway, they are going to accommodate those now. They were going to eliminate them. So
we have to keep our eyes on them.
The mayor knew about it, but I didn't want to stress the rest of you out. So anyhow, and then there's some U-turn movements with the frontage roads we want to have in, and so we made some progress on that. We're still discussing this width of the pedestrian crossing in the center at South Jordan Parkway and Lake Avenue. They want to do 20 feet. We want 26, so we're working on that still.
But the 20 feet is progress.
Which is more than the 14 they were going to originally give us.
Yeah,
so.
14.
Go buy
yeah.
Winbread.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, that's more to come on that with, but I think we made good progress today. So, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else have anything for us? Seeing none, I would love to invite Mrs. Miller, President Miller, if you're interested in, if you have anything you'd like to share before we wrap up our meeting, we'd love to hear from you. I know you came to our night out against crime. Thank you for that. Sorry we aren't there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. This has been just super fascinating hearing all of the transportation stuff that you deal with. Thank you for taking care of our city and all of our roads. And I especially appreciate hearing your concern for kids being able to get to school. I mean, that's a major source of transportation movement around our town is kids getting to and from school. So appreciate you taking that into consideration. I'm also under the same understanding that UDOT will pay for that busing until the pedestrian bridge is done. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks. I have a question. Is that parking lot going to be finished at the Jordan Middle School?
Yes, and it's going to be fabulous.
I mean,
parents
I watch the
will
progress
love it.
Of it every day.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a game changer. So yeah, it'll be done.
Okay. I'll keep track.
That is good news.
May I make a comment?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just for Ms. Miller to pass on.
Now
to
we've
the rest
got the
board.
President of the board on the hot seat.
Exactly. No, this is just a thank you. Recently saw where other school districts are making improvements to their school safety. And I know a lot of these things, the Jordan School District has led the way on and just went ahead and figured out a way to do it without, I guess, probably some state funding that other districts are getting now. And I just want to say thank you and ask you to pass that on to the board for taking that serious years ago and getting things implemented so we're not playing the catch-up game that other districts are now.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I will.
Thank you.
It's a good comment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've got you.
Can I ask another question?
Sure.
So out on the west side in the new part of Daybreak, there's that big parcel that's had a sign up for a couple, 2 or 3 years that says future site of elementary school. My son lives out there, and he said it's no longer the future site.
It never was.
Oh.
That sign's not in the right location, and I don't know why it's there.
Is this the one by the water course area?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. So it's not going to be a school.
But we do own property for another school in that area. That's just not the exact location.
Not the
location. Okay, so Aspen Elementary will continue and you have another site.
Mm-hmm.
I was panicking. Okay, good.
Yes.
Thank you. He's like, this won't be one. I'm like, they're in trouble.
But the sign's still there?
Yeah, two of them.
It's
okay.
Been, yeah, at least
big,
a couple
big
weeks
wooden
ago.
With a picture of a cute kid.
Yeah,
future
I think
site,
Daybreak
Jordan
put
school
the sign up, but I'll follow
ask
up on
to
that.
Move it because it's misleading.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The
thank
property
you.
They own is just south of the Model Home Village, it just opened.
Just south.
And there's
okay.
signs there also.
Oh, so
there's
so
we got
might
new
be the
elementary
one.
School there?
I know what
that's
about.
Right.
The one
so
I
that one
is of,
a
I
yes,
the, sign
but the
is,
one on
right.
the east side is a no.
I'm not sure where the other one is.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Yeah, there was one that was
it's
incorrect.
It's pretty close in proximity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
all
in
right.
the same general area.
They just need to shift a sign over.
Yeah.
Okay. Dirt's dirt.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. If there is nothing else, I will ask for a motion to adjourn so we can make it over to the end of our night out against crime.
Mayor, I'll move. Mayor, I'll move to adjourn.
Thank you.
Second.
All right. Thank you. We have a motion and a second. And I have a dead pen that won't even write. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right. This meeting is adjourned.